guys, and welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz. You're listening to my podcast, so you're a very smart, wise person, especially smart and wise, because this week's episode is Jeff Goldblum, the main guest, as it were. And we've also got, of course, Sammy's here, as always.
Woo!
Jenna's here. Never says anything, but she's here again. Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
Okay. In case you couldn't hear.
That was too much,
it was her
Jenna.
Saying hello. And we've got a special guest star via telecommunications technology. It's Ben Schwartz.
It's me, Ben Schwartz, everybody. What a lovely surprise for Josh.
As it happens, this is just fate. We didn't organize this. This is just the gods saying that Ben wanted to be on the intro and introduce Jeff Goldblum.
This was the weirdest missed call.
I talked to the gods, and the gods were like, give Sammy a ring. I bet something crazy would happen. And then I called, and Josh was like, oh, please don't put him on the podcast. And Sammy goes, press record, baby.
Not at all. I was just conveying my excitement about you and former Happy, Sad, Confused guest Sam Rockwell collaborating on a future film. That news just broke.
It's very exciting. It just broke but hours ago.
This is amazing.
Are you guys going to talk about anything besides having been on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast?
No.
Oh, my God. I remember when I was in that room and looked at those beautiful eyes. I remember the feeling I felt in my face and my loins. I remember that Jenna nor Sammy were there, but I remember that we were one for a moment, and then he told me he loved me.
It was a beautiful thing.
He loved you.
It was captured on video and podcast form, and all manners of media captured that strange moment.
Did Sam tell you?
What's your favorite Jeff Goldblum movie?
Oh, what's that?
What's your favorite Jeff Goldblum movie? He's the guest on this podcast. I know you already got your eyes off the prize, but he's the guest on this podcast.
Thanks for keeping me on track, Ben. My favorite, I'll say two. The Fly, for me, is basically a perfect movie. And then we talked during this conversation, of course, about my childhood favorite, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. What say you?
That's amazing. I've never heard that before.
What? You would love it. Are you kidding me?
I'm putting it on my list right now.
Would I love it?
Well, a little sketchy.
Maybe
taste.
You would hate it. You don't have the terrible taste that a Horowitz and a Schwartz has.
We only watch
movies that have like gefilte fish and dreidels in them.
There are neither, sadly, in Buckaroo Banzai. But I don't even know how to
describe
it. Sounds
like a fake movie, if I'm being honest.
It's Peter Weller. It's John Lithgow. It's
John Lithgow.
It's sci-fi. It's action. It's quirky. It checks all the boxes, guys. Trust me.
Checks all your boxes.
So wait, I want to do one caveat before we launch into the conversation, and poor Ben putting up with our silliness here.
Oh, poor Ben.
Before we do that caveat, let's hit a commercial break.
No, we don't do that.
We haven't sold any ads, apparently.
No. So in this conversation with Jeff Goldblum, the man, the myth, the legend, he's of course promoting Independence Day Resurgence. Yes, pause for dramatic effect.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you, Sammy.
You're welcome.
A conversation with Jeff Goldblum is an interesting thing in that he is a unique personality. It's hard to pin him down. You will hear the first 15 minutes of conversation is basically him riffing off of everything that's in The Office. You've heard that before in other conversations, but he really takes it to another level. So just luxuriate in his randomness, as I did, because I think that's the way to do it. Because look, it's how often do you get a chance to hang with Jeff Goldblum? For 45 minutes, right?
You do actually more often than most.
Well, I'm living a charmed life.
You are.
So anyway, this is a really fun conversation. I know you guys will enjoy it. And Independence
Day. Cool. And before we head off, Josh's phone number is...
No.
Wait.
Yeah, Sammy, go.
Three Jeff Goldblum questions.
Oh my God.
One, did you talk about 9 months?
No.
You blew it.
Different podcast, Sammy.
No.
I need to do the rom-com spin-off.
Oh my God.
Of Happy, Sad, Confused.
Number two.
What was his favorite toy in The Office?
He didn't play with any toys. He like everybody else, he loves the Michael Shannon imagery in The Office. He really liked the Danny McBride painting, but no toys. Number three.
Number three, did you hug when he said, like, how did you leave it?
Great question, Sam.
Thank you, Ben.
What's your guess, based on all you know of me and Goldblum?
Well,
how were exchanges of pleasantries made?
Do you do it like how Jewish family members say goodbye, where it's like you hug each other four times and then do like a kiss, and then right before you leave again, you go in for another?
That's not the, how the Horowitzes do it. The Horowitzes put the, we all go into hermetically sealed chambers, and then we just bump up against each other.
That would be amazing if just then we learned that Sammy says goodbye incorrectly. She's like, yeah, did you guys say goodbye like normal people? Like, you know, you touch each other's butts and we kind of point at each other.
Yeah.
Grab each other's genitalia.
You licked each other's faces for 7 minutes.
Did you guys lick from chin to forehead? Did you guys say goodbye or did you say goodbye?
I will say the greeting with Jeff was interesting. You've hit upon something here in that he walked in and at first he extended the fist. Yes, he extended the fist for a fist bump, and I was like a little put off by it. You know,
you're not
like,
a fist bumper.
Well, it felt like a germaphobe kind of a thing. But then I think recognizing our shared history, he said, no, bring it in for the hug. We hugged, we embraced. It was a beautiful thing.
Wow. You look different after.
I'm a changed man.
You're glowing.
Josh, how many people, I know you have to get to this podcast, how many people do you think have come in for your podcast that you've met before, but you've had to kind of like not tell them that you met before because you're embarrassed they don't recognize you?
I'd say a good 16%. Not that I'm keeping track.
Okay.
Let me just check his list.
Okay. I love that percentage.
Not counting you, of course, because you know of all our beautiful moments. You catalog them.
Yeah. You'll have some London recs for Ben.
You're going to London?
Yes, that's where the Rockwell movie is.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Yes, of course. Yeah.
You'll offline. You guys will offline.
We'll talk later.
Any final thoughts?
Thank you for having me, Josh and Sammy and Jenna.
This has been a lovely bonus material for the Happy Sad Confused listeners. Enjoy this conversation now, guys, with the one and only Jeff Goldblum.
Love you, Josh.
All right, calm down, everybody. Okay, we're on the record now with Mr. Jeff Goldblum talking about our mutual love of New York City.
We love New York City, and you and I lived in Chelsea. You were just saying that you lived in Chelsea. Yeah. That you grew up in Chelsea.
I grew up in the Upper West Side, the main streets of the Upper West Side.
Yeah,
not really at all.
what year? Because I filmed Death Wish, I think, on the Upper West Side
late
in
70s?
1973.
Okay, wow.
Where were you?
I did not exist yet. Where, 76, of course. I came into existence.
No kidding. Wow. Thank you so much. Somebody just brought us in water.
You need to be hydrated.
Oh, I need to keep hydrated.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We were just reminiscing that the last time we saw each other was in a much different environment. Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Has its charms in a way, but maybe not necessarily our...
Might not
I'm not going to speak for you. Not my cup of tea.
Might not be my cup of tea either.
I
don't know what my cup of tea is, but it's not... What tea would that be if Las Vegas would be a...
Zinger.
Red zinger. I don't know. We're more something else.
Yeah, something
throat
soothing.
Coat. So yeah, a nice throat coat.
Do you? Yes. Yeah. You have something to say? No.
I have many things to say, but I want you to elicit them. I'm not going to just pour forth for fear of offending you or boring you.
No. Well, this is part of the goal is to bring you into my weird habitat, my weird office.
Well, that I like. I'd like to talk about that.
So
this is the first time I've only now been here. You know, minutes and 20 seconds, and so many things, you know, catch the eye.
What caught your eye? What do you want to absorb?
Let's work in, you know, let's go from left to right, like my indigenous peoples do. Right to left. So there's a child's painting. Is that your painting or your child or your nephew or your niece?
This is like a little game of Sherlock Holmes. This is you deciphering what you can about me, and you've already made your first pivotal error, Jeff.
Well, I haven't. I'm just
you've made an assumption.
Aloud.
You've made an assumption.
Well, that was a child's painting? Maybe it's not.
It's not.
Oh, it isn't. That's like Basquiat. It's like a childlike, a sophisticated adult offering. Well, did you do that beautiful thing?
No, that is the DMB stands for Danny McBride, the wonderful actor, comedian, painted that of me. Danny McBride of many great comedic films. This is Your End and Foot Fist Away, etc.
He did that and that's his style? Does he paint a lot?
He went to art school, as I understand, in North Carolina. And I don't know if that's probably his best work. But it was
my face red. That is beautiful, isn't it?
Thank you. And that's
well, don't they say, didn't Picasso say it takes, you know, 60 years to, and then you paint again like a child?
There you go.
Yeah.
He has a head start. 40 plus years in, he's painting like a child again.
Good for him. I like it very, very much. And then we come to this, I like
the white
chalkboard with your, you know, magic marker. And I see New York folks.
So this, Jeff.
Yes, tell me.
This is a list of folks that, as I understand it, live in New York that I've worked with in different capacities over the years. That, you know, as you may recall, we did a sketch a couple years ago when we had a restaurant called Goldblum's.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it. Do you still have access to that?
It will never go away. Wait, I have this here on the wall. This is so funny. This is the menu for Goldblum's.
That's the menu. We were funny.
Don't forget about the Buckaroo Banzai brisket. So anyway, this is New York folks that, in case I have a sketch that needs a brilliant, wonderful performer, I know who lives in New York. Oh,
that's like your player's guide right on the wall, right? No kidding. And, you know, we could go through many people, but Lake Bell was, I'd worked with her early on, and she's now put us on to the Rye method of child rearing. She's a very important figure currently for us because I've got the 11-month-old Charlie. And we do something, we cherry pick, but we take courses in and have a mommy's day, which I go to in LA, of a Rye, R-I-E. People can look it up, but it's very interesting. And she turned us on to that. She's a wonderful, interesting person anyway, very, very talented.
How can I ask you how fatherhood is treating you? Is it everything it's cracked up to be? I'm not myself a father.
It's very personal. I'm sure everybody encounters it differently. It's delightful to me. You're not a father, but you hope to be one day.
Sure, I can imagine yourself to be.
I'm getting a big kick out of it. He's a joy and a half. He's really something.
Yeah,
I must say, boy oh boy, when he lays down on your chest and kind of snuggles you and nuzzles you a little bit and breathes his hot breath in your ear, oh my God, it's really thrilling.
It's a special thing.
It's quite thrilling. And then a million other things that he does. It's really something. And he's very, you know, he's like a person. I mean, you can make him laugh. He gets jokes. We have funny, not a lot of a sophisticated nature, but I think they probably are sophisticated, more sophisticated than I realize, or more sophisticated than I am. He's something like your friend Danny McBride.
As a huge movie buff, as a huge lover, you must be itching the next few years. You're going to get a chance to expose him to what you consider to be, you know, the seminal works, the works that define.
I didn't know where you were going with that question, but I like where it wound up. Yes, I am. Yeah, you're
that. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the films that you want to?
Not a lot. I don't think about it, but I'll bet as we. Well, I'll see what he's interested in. I think one has to. I'm no expert. I'm nothing. But I think you have to. And the Rye method actually has a respect for the child and respects the child's curiosity and his own their own path of. Interest. So, like with everything else, you know, his movie watching, if he's interested in the motion pictures at all, and he may not be, in which case, this is far be it for me to force it down his throat, you know, we'll see what he likes. But yes, there may be a time, I can imagine, where I might say, well, if you're interested in my, or even before he can understand what I'm saying, hey, to check this out,
right.
You know, kind of thing. Yeah, I like to do that. I like to do it with Emily, you know. I like to do it with friends. I like to be turned on to things that I've missed, because there are big holes in my exposure, you know, to movies and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, it seems, because I do remember, like, you know, when we were shooting that sketch, you were kind of killing the downtime between takes, and I came to, with a particular game, which I came to understand that you now do all the time with everybody.
Annoyingly.
No, it's
but wonderful. I don't. I give people a rest here and there. But I know the game that you're talking about. Did I do that on that?
We did, and it was delightful. Yeah, I don't see any downside to it.
Let's show your listeners. So you name it. This was it. Name an actor or a movie. Go ahead.
Right.
Name an actor or
Gary
a movie.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. So now we have to name a movie that he's been in. That takes us to, let's see. I like The Professional a lot. Yeah, that takes us either, let's say, Natalie Portman or Jean Reno. Let's say Natalie Portman.
Okay.
Takes us to, et cetera, et cetera. And then the game goes like that.
Right, right.
We won't bore them with anything else. But I love, look at that whole list. I'm looking back at them, still going around your walls. So Ezra Miller is an interesting guy. I like that movie. We need to talk about Kevin. Oh, boy, that's a scary movie. Speaking of parents and children, boy, and the wonderful Tilda Swinton, who I crossed paths with on, you know, the Wes Anderson movie, Grand Budapest Hotel. She's a special, special artiste and person. Justin Long, I did a play with. I'm going down your list. He's a wonderful guy. He's delightful.
A great impressionist, by the way.
A great impressionist. A great impressionist, yeah, I'd say so. And I'm a sucker for impressionists.
What's your? Do you have a go-to? What's your favorite? Do you do impressions yourself?
I don't do any impressions.
You just appreciate others' fine work.
Yes, I do. You know who did I did the podcast? I believe of Kevin Pollak recently.
Oh, wonderful! And Christopher Walken, he can do, and yeah,
he does. He does. Wait, who does the best? William Hurt. Oh, I know. Kevin Spacey, my pal with whom I worked and did a play in London at the Old Vic.
Sure.
We did that David Mamet thing. He does many wonderful, as you know, impersonations, including William Hurt, with whom I worked in the big show.
I'm fascinated by William Hurt. William Hurt is a brilliant actor who has not been utilized enough in the last, I would venture, the last decade. Not? Yeah, no.
Well, yeah. No. He's fantastic. Fantastic.
And, go ahead.
Yes, Sam Rockwell. Looking at Sam Rockwell.
You're listening
to my
favorites.
Place where we play jazz, a place called Rockwell. Yeah. That's what I tell people. You know, just remember Sam Rockwell or Norman Rockwell and look up Rockwell and come hear our jazz band. But he's wonderful. We studied with the same acting teacher. One of my acting teachers back here was William Esper.
Right. He always talks about Esper. Yeah, he mentions. Okay. Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love him in everything. I saw him on stage in that... Martin McDonagh play.
I saw
the
that one
after he did the one where I was in that Pillowman.
Yes.
And Sam Rockwell was wonderful in it, as well as Chris Walken, which brings us to our connection. Me and Chris Walken, we did 4 movies together, but have never had a scene together, have come to know each other and had
The first be Annie Hall? Would that be
Yes, exactly, Annie Hall. I never can remember maybe your listeners will. I could name a few others. I might be able to name them all.
You mentioned anyway. So I mentioned rather Annie Hall. How is it that happened that you and Woody Allen have not collaborated since Annie Hall? You would seem to be a perfect, you know, he loves to cast people that kind of approximate a version of that persona. That would not be a far stretch to see you could do.
You're very sweet. I'm a big fan of his. I love him and recently saw him, well, about a year ago now, at the Carlisle Hotel where he plays. And my band was playing there for a week, starting the day after his usual Monday, and I went and saw him and sat in with him a couple of numbers.
Amazing.
It was a thrill of a lifetime.
Did he acknowledge your past shared history, or did he, as far as he knew, were you just another wonderful pianist?
He knew me. His banjo player who'd made contact, you know, he's rather reserved.
Yes.
You know, as you've heard on the bandstand too, and his banjo player who had, you know, we were chatting before, said, you know, Jeff's here. And he said, oh, yes, sorry, I didn't say hello. Hello. Hi, Jeff. You know, he said, you want to have him come up? Yes, yes, have him come up and play. And we did. And he said, it was delightful. I adored him. I absolutely adored him. Anyway.
Yes, who else
I'm
you got?
Going to do the thing. Many interesting. Oh, I love Mark Ruffalo. I'm going to be in a movie with him.
That's right. They're all going to be in the Thor.
Everybody's
Ragnarok.
In Thor. Everybody on the list is in Thor, I believe. Michael Shannon. Hey, I see you've got a picture of Michael Shannon over there skipping across your walls.
Yeah.
But I love him. I saw him on stage. What did I see him in? Did I see...
Recently?
Was it called... No, it was a couple of years ago. Was it called...
Was it the one with him and Paul Rudd?
Was it Grace?
Yes, Grace.
Oh, I love Paul Rudd. I love him anyway. I loved him in that. And I loved Michael Shannon in that.
Michael Shannon's a genius.
He's
amazing.
A genius. And I've seen him recently in... Marla recommended that I see the movie On the Flight Over.
It's right next to you.
Midnight Special. My God. It's within right here. Where Snake would have bit me, as my dad used to say. Well, I wasn't aware of this movie.
Great
and
movie.
This Jeff Nichols, with whom I'd like to work. I liked his Take Shelter movie. And I loved this Midnight Special. And now as a father, speaking of which... This movie killed me because Michael Shannon, in the most subtle, internally rich, but externally subtle way, acted out this part of this caring, deeply devoted father. And he had the one line that we've talked about already. He says in the middle of this movie, the sweet child says, you know, you remember?
Yeah, what you're gonna say,
yeah. Says, oh, Daddy, you know, don't worry about me. He says, I'll always worry about you. That's the deal. Oh, my God. I thought he was so great in that. That's just wonderful. So I love that movie, but I see on this thing, one thing leads to another.
Yes.
Kirsten Dunst And she was great in it, but she was also great in a not dissimilar part in Melancholia.
Oh, yeah.
Horseman, which brings us to Charlotte Gainsbourg.
And we're back to the reason you're here today.
Yeah, that's Independence Day, and I loved her. She worked with, speaking of directors, Lars von Trier in that Melancholia movie, of course, and Nymphomaniac and Antichrist with my pal Willem Dafoe, with whom I've done a couple other things. But I love that Lars von Trier. He's a wonderful
director. Have you ever met Lars von Trier?
I have never met him, but someday I hope to. You know, I'd love to work with him if ever the chance permits. Kevin Kline and I, can you imagine, in the Big Chill all those years ago. Rebecca Hall, I love. Speaking of that Woody Allen movie, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I thought she was wonderful in that. Ellie Kemper, I see on that list. My eye spied it. I just did a little episode of
Kimmy Schmidt.
Love
that show.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the second season yet.
So see the second season. I'm like in episode 10. I loved her. Oh, she's wonderful. She's going to have a baby, she said publicly. I'm not telling tales. Christina Ricci, the daughter. Paul Bettany. I did a movie with him. He was a lovely fella. Jeez.
He likes to wear scarves.
Really? It takes a certain man to wear
He can pull it off.
He can pull it off, I'm sure. Well, he's an international sophisticate and a ginger. He's a ginger.
Oh,
he's a ginger man, of course, as you know.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah. Even though he's an albino in that...
The Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code movies.
Despite trying to avoid playing the movie game, we're playing the movie game.
We can't help it. Billy Crudup. You know, I'm trying to, you know, not avoid my own biography. We did a play together, that aforementioned...
The Pillow Book.
Man.
The Pillow Man, yeah.
He was brilliant in that. Amy Schumer and I just did a little thing in that episode with 12 Angry Men. Olivia Wilde and I did an episode of Portlandia together. I love her. So Paul Dano. Boy, I'll tell you, speaking of directors, who I'd like to work with is P.T. Anderson.
Oh.
Boy, I think he's the cream of the cream. Those two, The Master is one of my favorite movies of that time or any time, and There Will Be Blood. Jeez, he is good.
Apparently, P.T.'s reteaming with Daniel Day-Lewis for his next film, so that's something to look out for.
He's having Daniel Day-Lewis in the next movie?
Yeah, something about the fashion industry back in the 50s. That's all we know so far.
Ah, I love it already. The fashion industry, the 50s? That's fantastic. And Daniel Day-Lewis, he doesn't appear... in every single thing.
No, Lincoln was the last one. That's 2012.
Lincoln was the last
already 4 years ago.
I'll be darned. I admire him terrifically. Well, and then there you go. The Lake Bell we already talked about. Stephen Lang I did something with. Was on an episode of one of those Law and Orders, you know, criminal intent. But he was wonderful in Death of a Salesman.
Is that right?
One of my favorite plays, yes.
I think he was also in like the original production of A Few Good Men, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I think he had like the Nicholson role. I think he had the Jessup role.
I'll be a ring-tailed monkey, really. And then finally, Paul Giamatti there, who's also in the Amy Schumer. Hey, he's a delight. He is a gift on earth. That man is wildly talented with a set of theatrical pipes that can do anything. He has every instrument in the orchestra there in his little neck. And boy, what a delightful guy to talk to just like this. He can talk about movies, and he is sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, there we go. Well, I don't want to bore anybody. We go around the room, and just now I'm not going to see everything, but I see Michael Shannon again. Well, there we go. I like the color of money, you know. Speaking of 20 years hence, here we go. Independence Day Resurgence is not unlike the nothing like Color of Money and Hustler.
It's 25 years in between those two.
Is it 25 years in that case?
So
it's 20 years in our case and 25 years in that case. No other connection besides that, but it is an unusual thing to be, you know, stepping to the shoes that you wore 20 years ago. Speaking of which, I don't have any clothing that I had 20 years
ago. You're not a hoarder that way?
I'm not a hoarder in any way, really. I try not to be. I'm an anti. I discovered my early exhilaration with editing and pruning. I love to do that. And likewise, my current closet doesn't have much that I don't think there's a thing in there that I had over a year or two ago.
Do you keep anything from sets? Anything from films?
No, I'm not a memorabilia collector. Nope. I'm not.
What about film posters? I would think you would appreciate that on some level.
One would think. I've had some film posters. I've given them away. What am I? I'm not going to have a... No. I don't really.
I don't expect them to be your own posters, like a hall of Goldblum. I would respect that.
I love the film poster. I don't have many of them in my house, but I do love to go into people's places where they have, you know, the Italian, great big poster of, you know, Blow Up or something.
Right.
You know, I love to see those things.
Hey guys, time for a message from our sponsor today, Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron brings you the best. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. I can vouch for this, guys. I have done Blue Apron. I have cooked for myself. I've cooked for my wife, and I don't cook. So it's idiot-proof, guys. You can't go wrong with Blue Apron. You feel so satisfied after making these beautiful meals. It's awesome. Plus, they've got variety. New recipes created each week by Blue Apron's culinary team. They're not repeated within a year. They're flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. You can choose delivery options to fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Plus, it's easy. Most importantly, it's super easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Check out this week's menu and get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/happy. Guys, you will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, that's blueapron.com/happy. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We've got a returning sponsor to Happy, Sad, Confused today, our friends over at Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminated commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small, how did they do that, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. And let's talk about cost here, because that's so important. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin size mattress, $600 for a twin, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. You can't beat that. Let's talk convenience. Buying a Casper mattress completely risk-free. They offer free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. And remember, Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got everything going for it. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. You get free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. We got the 100-night risk-free trial. It's made in America. Come on, guys. It's got everything going for it. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase today by visiting www.casper.com/happy and using the offer code HAPPY. Terms and conditions apply. So speaking of Independence Day and 20 years ago, that was kind of like your, like, that was, there was a window, a period where you were like Blockbuster Man, between that and Jurassic Alone.
Blockbuster Man. Did you read my autobiography?
I heard it was greenlit, as told to Josh Horowitz. I'm ghostwriting it for you.
You're going to play Blockbuster Man, the young
everything's,
me.
Everything's a superhero film now, even Jeff Goldblum's story.
This is, yes, Blockbuster
Man. So was that odd? I mean, I would think, I mean, Jurassic on paper was kind of a no-brainer that it was going to be huge. I mean, it's Spielberg.
One might have thought, and yeah, I'm sure they banked on it, but I think it did better. than they thought, even a little bit, I think. And likewise, Independence Day.
Did that surprise you at all in terms of the massive nature of how it took over that summer?
I'm always surprised because I'm not particularly focused on that. I'm never thinking about, hey, what's this gonna gross for weekend one? You know, I don't know anything about it, and I happily stay uneducated about that. But yeah, as I gathered early on that it was catching on and it sold a lot of tickets and people seemed to like it, sure, I was delighted and surprised.
What, were you always open to the prospect of coming back to the franchise, or did it take a little bit of arm twisting? Or?
No arm twisting at all. No, I don't like any kind of what do they call that? A Dutch? What do they call that? Indian burn. No, or arm twisting. Don't try to get me in any kind of judo move. No.
If you're trying to get Jeff Goldblum in your film, don't resort to physical tactics. It's not going to work.
No. Nope.
He's got a strong...
Or even psychological. No. My guard is up for, you know, the passive-aggressive or any kind of manipulative.
No, we don't need you anymore, Jeff. It's okay. We don't need you. It's okay. Wait, what?
Exactly. No, I'm well-versed in the, you know... So I don't go for that stuff either. No, I was thrilled immediately when the great Roland Emmerich, who did that movie and this last one, said a few years ago now, we've got an idea, and Dean Devlin was there too. We want to take you to dinner. This was in LA, and they did. They said, you know, people have wanted us to do this, you know, but I never liked sequels. He said, but you know, there's a now I see the technology is grown and can. Hold my new vision of what we want to give people, and we think we've cracked a story that involves your character, and they described it to me, and I was thrilled to pieces.
One thing I appreciate about your career and your willingness to do stuff like Independence Day or Jurassic or Amy Schumer or whatever is like, it feels like there's like a lack of pretension or snobbishness. I mean, you'll do theater, you'll do small independent films, you'll do the biggest films on the planet, and it seems like it's all satisfying in its own way. Did it take a while to come around to that, or was there ever a period earlier in your career where you maybe thumbed your nose at blockbuster, quote-unquote blockbuster filmmaking?
Well, no, not specifically that, and I'm plenty snobbish in my own ugly way, you know, but, you know, individual way. No, early on, no, this is kind of in line with my original, the seeds of my original impulse to do this nutty thing, which was that it was a leap into an adventure of passion and, you know, present moment delight.
Yeah.
That's kind of all that I imagined I might be getting into. And sure enough, it's turned out to be satisfying in that regard. And that's the thing that sort of guides has been my ongoing compass to, navigating through it. Not a careerist kind of strategic thing. But if you're asking about taste, I'm sure I was, like I say, I've had a, evolving snobbishness. You know, I have my own. No, the fact is, I have my own taste. That's all. And I do like what I like. And I'm the authority, and I'm on nothing. I'm not a critic, but I am the authority of my own experience of a movie. And I can tell you if I got a kick out of it in one way or another. It made me cry, or it made me laugh, or I really was intrigued by it. And that's kind of. That's it. And there are things that fall outside of that that I can hate and dislike and avoid and boycott, which I won't mention. But there are others that I can be just absolutely thrilled by.
Give me one or two of the movies you've watched the most over the years that you've just seen 20 times.
That's an interesting question. Well, there are a couple. Mostly I don't see movies multiple times, but there are a couple that I have gone back to. Off the top of my head, The Dresser, it keeps kind of knocking me out. You know that I see that they're redoing it. I'm anxious to see that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins and somebody else I like very much playing The Dresser.
Is it Ian McKellen?
Ian McKellen. I'm anxious to see that. But that original movie, I've never seen it on stage, by the way. But that original movie, it just touches me, and it's just a... I've just gotten a kick out of that. Elephant Man, I've watched that several times. I've watched Mulholland Drive, speaking of David Lynch.
I was going to say,
A bunch of times. I've liked some Woody Allen movies. What Woody Allen? Oh, you know, Broadway Danny Rose and Crimes and Misdemeanors and Hannah and her sisters, you know, awful good. I've seen them a few times. You know, the Godfathers, the one and two, like everybody says, they're enchanted. They're bewitched. You know, you turn any time you turn them on, you just have to. You got to keep watching them, so I can keep watching them. What else? You know, on the waterfront, I go back to, you know, things like that. You know, for a while, It's a Wonderful Life. I would like to see. I've seen that again. That knocks me out. The Wizard of Oz knocks me out.
Do you have an elaborate setup at home? Do you have a home theater
Nothing elaborate. No, just I'm trying to get my home situation technologically in
too many remotes,
viable
too many.
Order. Too many remotes. I keep threatening when my helper gets the guy back and he has to tweak something else because something's not working. I keep saying, I'm telling you, I'm going to throw this all out the window one of these days. I go into a store and buy a TV set that just like I used to, that just reliably is there. It may not be the most, you know, Dolby sense around experience, but
you can at least turn it on and off with,
oh, for heaven's
100%
sakes,
accuracy.
Yes, it's not finicky and all, it won't do what I tell it. And there's so many choices. I'm very happy with Apple TV and all that stuff and Netflix, because now I really do see many more things than I did when I, you know, have to go every couple of weeks into a video store or something like that.
Right.
Really, I'm seeing a lot of things and finding things that I didn't know about. And I'm very happy about that. But I'm just a sourpuss sometimes and cranky. So, and I don't have a big theater or anything like that. So in the bedroom, for instance, I'll tell you, we have one thing now. Just on that TV, they're all different. I don't know why. They're all different. Just on that TV, we'll be watching it. And this thing will come up. It says, Speak Now. With a kind of a evil logo that I now is only, and because pretty soon it'll kind of go to this whole other area of, you know, what I don't know about it, and I have to either put it on pause or say stop. It's like voice activated. Right. I have to say no, thank you, stop. I don't want to speak. Don't do anything. Get away. But as quick as I can reach for the remote, I have to push pause. Otherwise, right. It'll hear something from the thing, and we're lost for the next period of time.
I'm exhausted just hearing about this.
I know.
This
I'm sorry. I'm like a guy in his front yard. Get your ball out of my... I'm just like an old grouch at this point. Get your ball out of my yard. Why can't any of this stuff work? What's with all this new technology?
Apropos of nothing. Well, maybe apropos of Independence
Day. That's the name of my new book. Apropos of nothing. Yes,
I thought it was Mr. Blockbuster.
I have to always update my autobiography, you know, my memoirs. Yeah.
Would you ever consider writing your memoirs?
No. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, why? If you could ghost it with me or
too much work.
Collaborate. Yeah.
I mean, if we could just talk here and someone else can transcribe.
That's
can do
much
it that
better.
Way,
I can, if I that? Sat down to the pen, I like that much better.
Okay.
You know, yes. Already I've written scads today, haven't I?
I was going to say, we do this 5 or 6 times. We've got
we'll
a book. I'll take 10%. You collect most of it.
Oh, really?
It.
See,
good.
You're a little different than me. You're already thinking. You're in the financial world. You've got a nose for the bottom line, I see. No, I'm just in it for the fun.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this up only because I have to if you enter my office.
You're scaring me already.
No, don't be upset. This is a happy, hopefully a happy subject.
Okay.
Where does Buckaroo Banzai fit into the pantheon of your career, would you consider? Because
Pantheon means like, that it's a... Is that my oeuvre? What's pantheon? How's pantheon different than...
Than oeuvre? It's just more syllables.
Yeah. What did Woody Allen mean in Love and Death when they kept talking about pantheistic or...
Oh, I love Love and Death so much.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love it. You know who knows? Joaquin Phoenix knows every line from that movie.
Is that right?
Every single line, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know because he's a tough guy to warm up to, and I feel like this could be a way for me to break
through.
That
would be the end. That would be the portal.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. That's the portal. What are we saying?
Yes,
Buckaroo Banzai.
What place in your heart, if any, does Buckaroo Banzai hold? Was it meaningful at all at the time, or is it only meaningful when crazy people like me, 30 years since,
crazy
say
at all.
It was
very
special to me as a child?
I'm very appreciative. I know it has a... And as a matter of fact, the piece of the demographic of that little pie that come up to me here and there and say, gee, that's my favorite movie, or when are you going to do another one of those? That's the sequel I want to see. They're... Not uncommonly of a certain stripe and up my alley, my cup of tea. You're my kind of fella, of course, and others. They're a little bit sophisticated, and I like their taste. I generally do. I like that movie. And of course, it brought me and Peter Weller together. We started to play music together, right. And then Woody Allen told him, did I tell you this story? No. It was too boring. Woody Allen said, oh yeah, I know, Jeff, you guys are playing together. You should do what I do, have a weekly gig. So that's really why we have this gig now, although Peter has gone off and done many wonderful things outside the group. So, but that movie was lovely. And John Lithgow, I'd like to work with him again. I don't think we had any scenes together, but boy, is he fantastic.
He's going for it.
I've gotten palsy with him. He's a delightful, saintly man. I love him. And, you know, what a whole cast. I like the whole darn thing.
Have you heard that? Yes, indeed, that is coming back to television, apparently. Kevin Smith, the filmmaker, is apparently going to give it a go.
I have not heard that. There have been different times I've heard things about... You know, they might do this and that, but no, I have not heard that recently. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, you know, it's in the somebody could make something good with it some new way, because it's you know, it's what it is, physics and trippy, weird things, and it's kind of like Wes Anderson, sort of. I think was otherwise. He's another person who likes that movie. Speaking of sophisticates and people of wonderfully interesting taste. And taste makers, I think that little homage at the end of Life Aquatic was kind of inspired by, I think, the end of Biker Banzai, where we all, to music, start kind of parading, joining a caravan.
Was that shot? In some kind of like basin, some kind of...
I think it was like L.A., one of the L.A. River, you know, reservoir basins or something, yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know where we were exactly, but how about that?
So you're in the middle of crazy Independence Day shenanigans that have taken you all around the world.
Can you imagine? This is the only time. I'm sort of a homebody. I'm not the easiest person to get out of my comfort zone. But it's good for me, because we were just in Australia, for heaven's sakes, and Dubai, as we were talking about, and then Berlin and London. And now here, and I'm after this, we go to Mexico City.
Oh, yeah, that's the new stop. All the big films do it.
It
now.
Is, yeah. Really. I was there like for a few days on one of these kind of stops many years ago, but haven't been since, and have never been in another spot in Mexico.
So nor have I. I cannot vouch for anything outside of Mexico City, strangely enough.
Really? But so you've been for these things.
I didn't actually go for work. It was bizarrely enough a vacation, and it's semi-odd, because it can be a dangerous place, not to scare you. I'm sure you're going to be safe. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, I'll keep Marla in there. Marla's
your security.
Times. Yes. But it can be. But people have also sung its praises. You got interesting restaurants and this and that.
Yes, there's a lot to love there.
And the water is, you can drink. One can drink that we were wondering today. So, one can drink the water.
As far as I remember, it had no ill effects on me. I'm okay.
Montezuma's Revenge.
It did not strike on me, no.
Yeah.
And you'll be, I assume, off to Australia soon enough. For a more extended period of time,
a few weeks, you know, to do that Thor movie. That's right.
This is your year of Hemsworths.
You read my new book. That's upcoming. That's one chapter. Well, there's a chapter in Apropos of Nothing. It's called the Year of Living Hemsworth. Yes, it is. Chris is going to be there. I haven't met him.
Delightful. Another delight. You're going to...
Really?
You're gonna
you know everybody. Well, that's... You've well, got that's an interesting job, life. But, yeah. Of course. Everybody parades past here.
And they all have to... The beauty is, Jeff, they all have to pretend to be nice to me, even if they're not nice people.
Who would not be nice to you? You're a dear, dear angel. You're like a warm coconut custard pie left on a sill.
Oh, I love coconut.
It's hard to
custard.
Even pass you without breathing in its comforting and delicious aroma. And snatching a piece to take home,
even if it's illegal. Keep your hands to yourself. Come on.
What?
No, don't. You're taking a bite out of me, literally. That's violent.
Take it easy. I'm talking metaphorically. Where's your poetical side, Horowitz? Come on.
So, what was I? What were we talking about? Oh, can I ask you about this? I'm curious. Are you going to be under crazy globs of makeup for this? Am I going to see you blue?
Well,
the Grandmaster, I looked him up on Wikipedia.
Yes,
he looks blue to me.
Yeah, he was blue. He was blue in that original. I think we're going to do our own thing with it. I'm not sure if it's all decided yet, but you know who the director is?
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. They said the accent on the first syllable. I would have thought Waititi, like Waikiki, Yeah. But it's Waititi, I think. And Taika, he's delightful.
His films are
with
delightful,
him.
Too.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hunt for the Wilder People yet? It's really good. His latest is very
I'm going to see that. But after our little adventure here, when I have a little time, I got to see that. But I did see A Boy, and I loved What we do in the shadows.
Vampires. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, with that lovely, his cohort from Flight of the Conchords, Jermaine, you know, Jermaine.
Clement, yes.
Clement, think he says.
I'm getting all
I
the
I know, accents.
Emphasis on the wrong syllables.
Look at you. Words are just playthings with you. Antics with semantics. That's in itself an antic with semantic.
Does anyone else in your family speak the way you do?
No. No, they don't.
Where did this come from?
My mom was chatty. My dad, I think I got a kind of a sense of humor from. My brother, no. Pam and I share. I have a younger sister. We're sort of cut similarly in our DNA and psychological and maybe verbal DNA. But, yeah, we talk the same language. But no, I've this is a particular brand of nincompoopery that I've forged. I don't know how. I apologize. But
because it's, I would say it's not to the extreme of, like, you know, there's the old story that I think Walken has said over the years where he, like, eliminates all punctuation from his scripts.
Well, I saw that on his, I'm always interested in craft, you know, and I saw him on Inside the Actor's Studio. Yes, I'm very interested.
You don't go to that
I may have even asked him. Well, that comes from, I think, I don't know in his case, but, you know, William Esper, who was a student of, in a cohort of Sanford Meisner. Yeah, that was one of the things that they had us doing in the neighborhood playhouse. I don't do it myself anymore. I'm very interested to see what the writer, how the writer punctuated it. In fact, if you do, you know, it's a case-by-case basis. If you do a Coen Brothers movie, I'm told, another couple of guys I'd love to work with. I just saw Hail Caesar, by the way. I love Hail Caesar.
Which is a shame of my existence.
I recommend it. It gets 10 Goldblums out of a possible 10 Goldblums. Yeah. And I like Serious Man. Did you see that? Michael Stuhlbarg. I love that. But, you know, I hear they're sticklers for, just like Wes Anderson, for, you know, hey, dot, dot, dot means pause a little bit, just like David Mamet, you know, and the, not and da 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 da. So how did we get that? What were we talking about?
Wait.
Put me back on
the nincompoopery was the last word I remember.
Yes. No. Chris Walken and cutting out that punctuation. You want to know what those guys have in mind and even how they hear it. I like to hear their line reading.
Yeah.
Stanislavski supposedly gave line readings. You know, there's nothing. If you can make it your own, and then I'll make it my own and find my own, you know, ways of, you know, hopefully with an inclusion of the character, not always just me and my own, you know, affectations.
I mean,
do
you want to have a conversation on set, like a long drawn out conversation with the director about such things, or by the time you're on set, is it like
I'm different? Well, no, I'm different with different people. I'm a talker and I'm a analyzer, but also not sometimes with some people. You know, we just came from a thing in these publicity tours, you're asked to do some acting sometimes, where you know do a skit or a sketch, and sometimes those are my favorite things, you know. And talk about not being snobby. I have the highest regard for all those opportunities and think that they deserve my best effort. And sometimes I'm happier with how they come out than all sorts of other things. And my point is that I can kind of toss them off without much overthinking or over talking or over analyzing. And I'm telling you, I should learn something from this. They sometimes come out like I say better. So maybe I'll do a little less talking as I learn more and more how to get better.
We shot that sketch with you, I think, in about 45 minutes.
Right. And we didn't. Yeah. I said, yeah, what's the, I see, I get it. Okay. Come on.
I think you were off book though, by the time you came there, which was, I think, better than I. Well, I think I'm generally the one that needs more help.
I might have learned it, but I like that too. I'm no brilliant line learner. In fact, if I need to learn it verbatim, you know, I got to spend, it's backbreaking. You got to spend many hours sometimes, but sometimes I can take a sense of something just quickly. This is kind of one of my favorite things to do, and then just kind of do my version of it. I can oftentimes get it as it's needed, but do something else with it, you know.
Is there, I mean, you've been playing at Rockwell's pretty regularly, as I understand it.
Anytime I'm not busy, every Wednesday.
And obviously you live to act, you love to act. It's not just a job, it's a passion. Is there a way to meld those two things in your mind, or are they two totally separate kind of things?
Totally separate at all, quite integrated. And yeah, I kind of, it's cross-training for me. Kind of, I learn from one and then the other. I think I play that jazz gig as a result of all my work, so-called, on my acting life. You know, I talk a little bit, and I do also. You haven't come and seen it yet. So you'll see. It has theatrics, minor annoying theatrics of my own kind in it, and then my acting life. Geez, I don't know if I'd be a different kind of person if I never played the piano and I didn't play the piano every day and I didn't love piano. Yeah, so it's and of course improvisation, and I like to improvise in my acting sometimes if needed, if called upon. But that's a very particular thing and quite related. You know, you listen to the other guy, and then what you do is an answer to if you're open in your incoming and outgoing. You know, it's a spontaneous conversation.
Before I send you on your way.
Yes, sir.
A couple random questions from an Indiana Jones fedora.
Wait a minute. I was looking at that hat because, as you know, I'm a hat. I
wouldn't put that on your head. That's been sitting there for far too long.
What is it? It's beautiful. It's not literally the Indiana Jones.
I mean, it's a replica of some sort.
I kind of love it. Do you wear hats?
I don't.
You've got a fine head of hair.
Thank you. It's like my one body part that is not waning in any way. I want to embrace it.
Everything else is.
It's not going well.
Really?
I won't delve into what you might mean. It's just all going.
Well, do you have a girlfriend of any?
I have a wife of some kind.
You have a wife?
Yeah.
Oh, and she seems happy, I'm sure.
Well, as happy as one can be in my presence consistently. I mean,
I'd be happy to constantly be around you. I'd like to be
You're welcome anytime.
You could be like my Jiminy Cricket, always on my shoulder.
I'm already ghostwriting for you. What else? What are the other duties that the...
Duties?
What about duties? The assistant to Goldwyn has to
assistant
perform.
Assistant to Goldwyn? Well, as I was telling Marla today, all my abilities as a human person, besides my specialty of whatever I'm doing, have atrophied. So it falls to the assistant to do mostly everything. Pretty soon to even feed me the applesauce, I'm sure.
Certainly someone to handle the remotes.
I call him at a drop of a hat. John, why? It stopped again. What do I do? I can't do anything. Oh, yeah. And every other aspect of the household goings on. Oh, yeah, no. I'm nothing. Okay, so I suppose I'm supposed to dig into
this
thing.
Whatever you want. Whatever. It's up to you.
Really?
Choose your own adventure.
Okay, so I picked... I don't even know what these are.
It's
so
random silliness.
Okay, so I see it has some words on it. It's a piece of paper. Oh, this is so sweet. I wish I were better at it. I love these kind of games, you know. I guess I'm supposed to fill in the blank. I were better at... Well, we just hit it. We were just talking about... Boy, I'm getting chills. The universe must have been listening to us. I wish I were better at, some of the manly duties around the house, knowing how to turn the gas off in case of an earthquake and that kind of stuff.
Right.
All that stuff. Okay. And a million other things.
You compensate in other areas. We can't all do it all, Jeff. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Josh. See, that's why I want you around all the time. Well, there you go.
This is a preview of what the services I perform.
I like it. You're in. You're employed. You're on the payroll. I wish I were better. Well, I wish I were better at everything. I mean, Well, there you go. I mean, that's fantastic. Should I pick some more?
No, I think that's great.
One is enough. That's very, very good. I like that hat.
You're welcome to wear it on the way out. But I think the hat you brought suits you.
Ah, this is a nice hat. Nick Fouquet made this hat. Do you like it?
It's beautiful. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
How many pairs of glasses do you own?
Well, that's an interesting question. I used to collect, and but I've pruned and edited.
Yeah.
Right now, if you go into my closet, I have 4 pairs of glasses.
That's very economical of you. That's very.
Oh, yeah. And I could get rid of more because these are my go-to right now. I haven't touched the other ones, so they could be, and that's one of my criteria for pruning.
Yeah.
If you haven't used it for a while, what are you hanging on to it for? Let it go and let somebody else use it.
That's a little long to put on a t-shirt, but that's something to live by, I think, what you just said for the listeners out there.
Yes, that's for the listeners. That's right.
The listeners should go see Independence Day Resurgence. That's number one on the list.
If it's there, if they choose to, I wouldn't twist anybody's arm.
We talked about that earlier. That's not the way to do it.
I saw it, and I recommend it. If you, I recommend it.
No one does disaster like Mr. Roland Emmerich. He knows what he's doing.
He's wonderful. Yes, I think if that's what you want to see, yes, he's fantastic at it. He's done it much. It's, you know, he's put in his 40,000 hours of he's
destroying the planet.
8th degree black belt master at it, and now he's got the new tools at his hands. And we've been talking to press people. I don't think they're pretending when they say, "Hey, it was everything I wanted it to be." They say, you know, everything I hoped from the friend. I loved the first one, so that's unsolicited. Don't take it from me. What do I know? And I'm otherwise involved anyway. You shouldn't believe anything I say anyway. But that's what they have said to me, rather unanimously.
And hopefully it won't be another 20 years. Let's kind of rev up the pattern.
I don't think I'm capable of 20 years. What kind of part would I be?
You can do the Judd Hirsch role. You can do...
Thank you. I doubt it. I'm not sure.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure to catch up to you. Until next time, until our ghostwriting endeavor begins, until the movie game continues, until a thousand other things get underway.
Great, great man.
It's great to see you, Jeff.
Be well. Be well here. It's great to see you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Delightful.
A pleasure.
Delight. Another. We got to get... I wish there was that. We could put that in the time capsule. That's fantastic.
We did it.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.